From WNYC in New York, this is NPR's On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is out this week. I'm Bob Garfield. Presidential hopeful Barack Obama made his way through a whirlwind tour this week, taking him inside the war zones of Afghanistan and Iraq, to the mountains of Jordan, and through the streets of Berlin, where more than 200,000 adoring fans waited to see him. And throughout this tour, the media followed.
Well, just hours after Barack Obama landed in Baghdad, the Iraqi government
visited here in Iraq was
into a gym full of troops in Kuwait.
And they followed.
Here you see it, Barack Obama's touching down in Jordan
on a mountaintop against the backdrop of a
followed.
We're here, of course, in advance of Barack Obama's start.
I met with Barack Obama here in Amman.
We talked about all of that with the senator today.
The Obama coverage frenzy led to outrage within the McCain campaign, which, to illustrate its anger, issued mock press passes to those unfortunate reporters still stateside covering McCain. The passes read, JV squad left behind to report in America. In fact, the McCain campaign thought the media's attention on Obama crossed over the line into love.
The media's love affair with Barack Obama is all-consuming.
I felt this thrill going up my leg. I don't have that too often.
That's from a video on McCain's website asking supporters to vote for the song that best characterizes the love between Obama and the media. Tom Rosensteel, director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism, says that since June, when Obama emerged as the presumptive nominee, 78% of election-related articles mention Obama, while only 51% mention McCain. Rosensteel says this doesn't necessarily mean the media are in the tank for Obama, but he's not surprised McCain is making that argument.
It's a time-honored tactic that often doesn't work. Let's not forget that the first President Bush, near the end of his campaign, when the polls were not moving, began to criticize the press and even had bumper stickers that said, "Annoy the media, re-elect Bush." That was a last gasp for George Bush, and I think whether it works or not depends on when it comes in a campaign.
Well, this is pretty early. I mean, we're not even at the conventions yet, and he's already pulling out this trick, which is often, as you suggest, the last refuge of a desperate candidate. Why do you suppose he's already going down this road?
Well, if you start attacking the press early in a campaign, you're working the refs. You're trying to get the press to change its behavior. The press is highly sensitive to criticism and will quickly evaluate whether these charges are perceived to have merit. And if they are, history suggests it may cause the press to change its behavior. We only have to remember back to February when Hillary Clinton accused the press of being soft on Obama. I think there's little doubt, and our data certainly support the idea that after she did that, the press became more skeptical of Obama.
Well, it's certainly true that Obama has gotten the preponderance of coverage. Preponderance of coverage is not the same thing as bias, is it?
No, it's not. If John McCain were ahead in the polls, laying low in the press wouldn't be a problem. Press attention doesn't equal winning. Press attention is a kind of oxygen. It's necessary for winning, but it's not sufficient. And some of the storylines here are not all positive for Obama. In our data, we see, is Obama a flip-flopper and a hypocrite is becoming a kind of a staple of the narrative. And the second thing is that there are a host of journalistic reasons why he may be getting more coverage. He is new. He is historic. The crowds are large. All of those things make him a better story. But there was also a question of whether the press, in following those journalistic instincts, has created an unlevel playing field for McCain. And that's something that journalists have to worry about. Then you can throw in, is the press also in the tank for Obama? Is there bias here? That's an unanswerable question, I think, that will never be resolved.
If, as you suggest, that this whole campaign is a way early in the race to play the refs, to get them to be less likely to call a foul, how should the press react? Should they look inward to see if they're being too tough on McCain, or should they just trust their instincts, even if it means a caravan to Europe to follow Obama?
press has extra responsibilities in a campaign. Normally you don't worry about, oh, gee, we're covering the mayor too much. We should tack back and cover the governor more. But campaigns are different because the press is both covering the news and sort of conducting the job interview on behalf of the public. And if they create a situation where they have made it manifestly harder for one candidate to get elected, that's a problem, I think, even if all the reasons that they're covering one candidate more are defensible. And so I think that the press may tack back here.
Okay, a point taken, but doesn't it also behoove the McCain campaign to do or say something fundamentally newsworthy?
Yes, I think that's part of McCain's problem, that he's not generating much interest, but intellectual consistency is not one of the hallmarks typically of candidates, and you know, McCain can have an empty message and also complain about the press not covering him. And there's a risk for McCain here, too, in doing this, which is if you want to work the refs, but you don't want to look like a whiner, that's unappealing to voters. And ultimately, it's voters who decide these things and not, obviously, the media. So now that McCain has made his statement, it's probably wise to leave it to surrogates from here on to complain about the press. Or you look like somebody who's got four fouls and can't seem to play defense cleanly and, you know, is on the brink of being ejected.
Okay, Tom. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Tom Rosenstiel is director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism.